We're in Judges chapter number 20, looking at one of the worst stories in early Israeli promised land history. The murder of a concubine at Gibeah in Benjamin during the high priesthood of Phinehas, which tells us that it's within the first 60 or so years of the time period that Israel's in the promised land. And it all took place because there is no king in Israel at this time, including God himself is not being treated as king. And everyone does whatever they feel like. And it is chaotic and sinful. And so the last thing we saw was that the Levite from Ephraim, whose concubine was murdered because of his own choices, by the way, because he's the one that threw her out there to that mob, he takes her dead body and chops it up into 12 pieces. And by messenger, dispatches these bloody pieces to the leaders of the 12 tribes, insisting that something needs to be done about this. And it really upsets a lot of these folks to have been told this story of a rape and a murder. And so this is the action they decide to take. Chapter number 20. Then all the people of Israel came out from Dan. That's way up there in the north. Remember last story that we talked about in this section of the book of Judges is how a significant portion of the Dan tribe gave up on trying to take the coastal plain from the Canaanites with chariots, and just went up into the territory of another tribe north of the Sea of Galilee and conquered a city that had a really nice territory around it. And so that's now become confiscated territory by the tribe of Dan. So from all that way up there down to Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is probably the largest walled city in Judah to the south. There are some other cities farther south than that, but it's probably the most significant of them. And so it's often traditional to refer to the land of Israel as from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. So all the people of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead. That means the three tribes that occupy the east annexed territory of the Promised Land. Manasseh up in the north, Gad in the center, and Reuben down in the south. So they all come out. The congregation assembled as one man to he who is at Mizpah. Now, why do they come to Mizpah? And where is Mizpah? Mizpah seems to be a little bit south of Shiloh, but it is very close to the border of the Ephraimite tribe with the Benjamite tribe. And so I think it's possible for two things being the reason why they're coming here. One, it's possible that Mizpah may be the tribal capital for the Ephraimites. Remember, the Levite who is angry about the death of his concubine is living inside the tribe of Ephraim. So that's one possibility is why they go there. Another one could be that just because Mitzpah was this very close to the border with Benjamin, that that's where they asked everybody to gather, because if it doesn't go well, they're going to be invading the Benjamite tribe. And so the closer they can get with that border, the better. So those are the two possibilities is why they go there. The chiefs of all the people and all the tribes of Israel presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God. 400,000 men on foot that drew the sword. So they are coming here as a potential military force to punish the city of Gibeah. That's their main target, because that's where the crime took place. But they're also aware that Benjamin may have to be dealt with if they don't hand the criminals over. All this is starting with some principles out of the Mosaic Law, and that is, if one of the cities inside Israel goes rogue, it's the responsibility of the rest of the cities to deal with that, to punish it. And so that would be extended to the entire tribe if the entire tribe has gone rogue. And so that's what these guys have in mind, is a potential excision of rogue persons or cities or even a tribe inside Israel. Verse 3. Now, the people of Benjamin heard that the people of Israel had gone up to Mitzpah. So they're aware that something's up. And evidently, they weren't invited to come to this gathering. I think they probably got one of the body parts. The leaders of Benjamin probably got one of the body parts, but didn't evidently think it was something that they needed to deal with. The people of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this evil happen?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came to Gibeah that belongs to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to spend the night." All that's accurate up to that point. Here he starts fiddling around with the truth. "The leaders of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house against me by night. They meant to kill me, and they violated my concubine, and she's dead." Now, he doesn't say a thing about he's the one that threw her out there to the mob to save himself. He also accuses the leaders of being involved in this, when the text didn't say it was leaders. It said it was the sons of Belial, the worthless guys, a bunch of scoundrels that started this. So he is fudging the facts. Verse number 6. "So I took hold of my concubine, I cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed abomination and outrage in Israel. Behold, you people of Israel, all of you, give your advice and counsel here." So he wants vengeance against the Gibeonites for the loss of his concubine, even though he was quite complicit in it. "So all the people arose as one man, saying, 'None of us will go to his tent. None of us will return to his house. But now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000, to bring provisions for the people, that when they come, they may repay Gibeah of Benjamin for all the outrage that they have committed in Israel." So they are basically now making the arrangements to invade the tribal area of Benjamin on, to begin with, an attempt to take those persons responsible for the murder of this woman. And if they can't take them willingly, they'll take the city and destroy it. And if the Benjamite people as a tribal group gets in the way, they'll deal with them too. So all the men of Israel gathered against the city, united as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What evil is this that's taken place among you? Now, therefore, give the men, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and purge evil from Israel." Now, that is a reasonable thing that they did here. They first attempted to arrest and punish the persons that were involved in the crime. But then they run into a problem. And this is the problem of tribalism. And it's a terminology that we use today. When people are infected with the idea of tribalism, it's my people, right or wrong, are always right. And I'll defend them to the death. And this is not a good thing. This is a problem. And so the Benjamites take that attitude, and they say that they would, it says here that they would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the people of Israel. So they decided that no Benjamites will be handed over to this Israeli group that's come to bring justice or vengeance into this circumstance. So the people of Benjamin came together out of the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the people of Israel. So now it is a civil war. One tribe against 11 tribes. The people of Benjamin mustered out of their cities on that day 26,000 men who drew the sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah who mustered 700 chosen men. So 26,700 is basically a representation of the militia for the Benjamite tribe, and that stands against the 400,000 that we already saw mentioned that are part of this combined Israeli militia. I scrolled too far down, and now I've lost my spot. Here we go. Then in verse number 16. Among all these, so the 26,700 Benjamites, were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. Now, this is one of the ironies of the Israeli people group. The Benjamite tribe got their name from their forefather, Benjamin, the last son born to Jacob, the last son born to Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. In fact, she died giving birth to him. Her last words was basically, "Name him Ben-Oni," which means "son of my sorrow." But after she passed away, Jacob said, "No, we're going to name him Ben-Yamin, son of my right hand," which is a euphemism for "my favorite, my special, my precious." So the tribe that has the name right-handed has a high ratio of left-handed people in it. Just one of those weird things that happens. And here we have 700 left-handed slingers. These are ranged warriors. that can do a lot of damage are in the Benjamite tribe. Verse 17, the men of Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of war. So now we've got the two sides defined. The people of Israel rose, went up to Bethel, and inquired of God. Now this is another one of the weird things that we cannot fully explain. We know that the tabernacle was set up at Shiloh around the time of the allotment of the properties in the seventh month of the seventh year that they were in the Promised Land, when Joshua was leading. So the tabernacle has been at Shiloh almost from the very beginning of Israeli history. But the Ark of the Covenant seems to travel around to different places. Now, some of that can be explained because of warfare, but not all of it. And so it almost seems as if there is a special shrine area, special worship area at Bethel that the Ark of the Covenant goes to at this time for the Israelis to go and inquire of the high priest what to do. Remember that the Ark of the Covenant is God's portable throne. He is the king. He's the warrior king. So he goes to battle with them. A lot of that makes good sense. But they had been at Mizpah as their encampment. But now they're at Bethel, which is just over the line into Benjamite territory. All right, so with that in mind, they go and they ask God, which means they ask the high priest Phinehas, who shall go up first for us to fight against the people of Benjamin? And the way that he would find out is he would use the Urim and the Thummim, which are the two stones in the little pocket behind the breast piece. I think, according to Jewish tradition, I think that's correct, that they lit up, one of them lit up supernaturally in answer to a yes, no, or either or question. So, shall Reuben go up first? No. Shall Simeon go up first? No. Shall Judah go up first? Yes. So God basically sends the Judah tribe against the Benjamites first. But then disaster strikes. The people of Israel rose in the morning. They encamped against Gibeah. Now Gibeah is just a handful of miles to the south and east from Bethel. The men of Israel went out to fight against Benjamin. And the men of Israel drew up in battle against them at Gibeah. The people of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and destroyed on that day 22,000 men of the Israelites. Now, that shouldn't have happened that way. First of all, just in the normal way of thinking of things, the Benjamites only had 27,000 people, basically. The Israelis had 400,000, and they sent the big tribal group, the biggest tribal group of warriors against them first, the Judah tribe. But Judah takes a big hit, 22,000 casualties. Why? God is the one that said, yes, send up Judah. The only explanation that we have is that God is clearing house. Because, remember, this is in the time period of the Judges when everybody's just doing whatever they feel like. And God had warned them, if you blow off my covenant, I will judge you. I will take you down. I will punish you. And so God seems to be cleaning house here. Verse 22, but the people, the men of Israel, they took courage after this big defeat, and they again formed the battle line in the same place where they had formed it on the first day. The people went up, and they wept before He Who Is until the evening. And so they inquired of he who is. Shall we again draw near to fight against our brothers, the people of Benjamin? So they evidently go back to Phinehas the priest, ask him again. You check in with God. You check in with he who is. Should we attack Benjamin again to try to punish them for their sinfulness? And God's answer is, yes, go ahead. And so the people of Israel came near again to the people of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed 18,000 men of the people of Israel. All these were men who drew the sword. We have now lost in 2 days 10% of the fighting force of Israel. And God is the one that gave his go-ahead to do this. God is clearing house because everybody's just doing what they feel like. And that brings judgment. So verse 26 reports, then all the people of Israel, the whole army, well, those that are left, you know, 360,000 of them, they went up, they came to Beth-El again, and they wept. Now, Beth-El apparently is where the Ark of the Covenant is, there at the edge of Benjamite territory. They sat there before he who is. They fasted that day until evening, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before he who is. So they are acting in repentance. I think they understand that they've been doing things wrong. Verse 27, the people of Israel inquired of he who is, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it in those days. That's how we know when this must be taking place. Saying, shall we go out once more to battle against our brothers, the people of Benjamin, or shall we cease? So the repentant, fasting Israelis say to God through the high priest Phinehas, should we continue this or do you want us to just stop and go home? And he who is, go up, tomorrow I will give them into your hand. So apparently there was more questions asked this time as to whether or not there was going to be a victory for the Israelis. And that comes back in the affirmative. So Israel set men in ambush around Gibeah. They take a page out of Joshua's military tactics against Ai. When you've been beat, you set up an ambush, engage the enemy, retreat as if you're being beaten again. And when you draw the people out of the city, you set the city on fire, and then you catch them out in the open between the supposedly retreating body and the covert burning of the city body. So that's exactly what they do. The people of Israel went up against the people of Benjamin on the third day, set themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. The people of Benjamin went out against the people. They were drawn away from the city. And as at other times, they began to strike and kill some of the people in the highways, open countryside, one of which goes up to Beth-El. So that's the road that goes north toward Bethel. And the other to Gibeah. That's the one that goes back to Gibeah to the south. And in the open country, about 30 men of Israel. So 30 soldiers die in the Israeli combined militia this time. The people of Benjamin said, they're routed before us as at the first. But the people of Israel said, let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place. That's the covert ambush group. And they set themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the men of Israel who were in the ambush rushed out of their places from Merageba, and that seems to be the Geba that's a little bit north of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel. The battle was hard, but the Benjamites did not know that disaster was close upon them. They were drunk with success from the previous 2 days, apparently. And he who has defeated Benjamin before Israel and the people of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day. All of them were men who drew the sword, so that the people of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. And they're still not done. The men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin because they trusted the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. Then the men in ambush moved out and they struck all the city with the edge of the sword. At the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in the main ambush was that when they made a great cloud of smoke rise out of the city, and the men of Israel should turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. They said, surely they're defeated before us as at the first battle. But when the signal began to rise out of the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them. Behold, the whole of the city went up in smoke to heaven. And then the men of Israel turned, and the men of Benjamin were dismayed, for they saw that disaster was close upon them. Therefore, they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness. That's to the east, heading down toward Jericho, down toward the Jordan Valley. The battle overtook them. And those who came out of the cities were destroying them in their midst. And surrounding the Benjamites, they pursued them and trod them down from Nohah as far as opposite as Gibeah on the east. So what started as a great Benjamite victory has now turned into the near annihilation of every adult man in the tribe of Benjamin.